and welcome to another edition of Visions. With me, Yudali Wickham Ashby. And today, my special guest is Carrie Ann Eiffel. In her capacity as president of the Barbados Council for the Disabled, I thought that it would be prudent to take an examination of the blueprint, the manifesto that the Barbados Council for the Disabled recently published. So I invited Ms. Eiffel to come in and let us have a conversation about it. Welcome to the program, Carrie.
Thank you for having me, Yudali, as always.
Well, indeed, it's a pleasure. Yes, it's a pleasure always talking disability with you. So let's start at the beginning. Why did you think that it was necessary to create a manifesto for persons with disabilities?
At this time in our development, it is important that our issues not just be articulated, but it be our voice. We always say nothing about us without us. And the Barbados Council for the Disabled tries to lead in this direction. So in developing our manifesto, we felt that it was necessary to be able to share with others what we see. And it came from our members, because what we did over the last few months, we've had different dialogues and different discussions, and persons submitted different entries, not specifically for the manifesto, but to outline what they wanted to see in our country's direction. As we became a republic, as we discussed the development plan for Barbados, we thought it was necessary to put these in writing, and we were invited to share them, and so we did. And we took that blueprint and developed it into our manifesto that we shared quite liberally among the media houses and on our various electronic media sources.
You've just explained the process in terms of actually designing the manifesto. What are the major areas highlighted in the manifesto?
Well, before we go there, I want to say that one of the most important parts, we're always told that a country is judged by how it treats its most vulnerable citizens. Persons with disabilities remain one of the most vulnerable groups within any society. We're told by the World Health Organization that 15% of the world's population live with a disability. If that is so, and that translates to our Barbadian reality, that means that 15% of our population. Now, if you take that at an estimated 300,000, now my math isn't the prettiest, as any of my math teachers will tell you, but that means that more on average, more than 30,000 people in Barbados live with disabilities on a regular basis. Then that impacts their families. When you extract that out, you can have on average 100,000 persons in our country. That's one third of our population that copes with disability on a daily basis, whether directly as living with it themselves or indirectly as a family member, co-worker, teacher, support persons with disabilities. And that is one of the first things that we evaluated. So in developing these perspectives, that was one of the major issues that we looked at, the fact that it affects so many people. Now, within this manifesto, we looked at the importance of the built environment being made accessible to persons with disabilities. If you can't go anywhere, then it doesn't make any sense talking about integration and inclusion. My granny always used to tell me, first impressions count. It's what people see. And if you arrive at a business place and the reception is warm, there are ramps laid out and properly constructed, there are parking spaces. Yes, that was passed into law some years ago. But not only are they there, but that they're manned and that they are maintained, that you can see. And, you know, once those things are in place, that's the first thing. Then when you move into the space and you encounter staff that has been trained, that has sensitivity, because far too often, you know, that one of the biggest issues we find is not just the fact that the place isn't built, but that people don't know how to treat or work with persons with disabilities. Another major area of concern is the lack of data on persons with disabilities. Now, this is not a phenomenon that is unique to Barbados. Unfortunately, it's very prevalent across the Caribbean region. We do have colleagues in different places who are striving to improve in this area, but we need to do more. Not just how many persons with disabilities live in Barbados, but what are the most prevalent disabilities? What are the most pressing concerns? What are our living conditions? What are our financial positions? What are the housing solutions being offered to us? What are our economic perspectives? Are we employed? What areas are we employed in? How are our medical needs being seen to? What are the most important areas? And that helps the government to plan as they're looking at building out their development plan. It helps them to know what is it that we need to concentrate on most. Too often, there's an old-fashioned view on disability, and only the health concerns are looked at in some instances. But there's so many other aspects. There's education, there is housing, there is legislation, there is employment. All of these things are areas of concern, and data helps to drive that material forward. Then, of course, we look at other aspects of it as well. What are some of the educational needs of our persons with disabilities? Now, I personally have become really tired of hearing about the pandemic, and so I'm sure most people are. But the reality is the pandemic has forced us to recognize some major deficiencies. One of them is, of course, in the area of education. Now, special needs education has been getting a lot more attention. But again, what areas do we need to have that attention? Some people suggest that the number of persons living with autism is on the increase. But is that really so? And is our educational system catering adequately to their needs? What areas do we need to put more attention to? Those are some of the areas that we highlighted within the manifesto that we want to see addressed.
The average Barbadian listening to this program may wonder, so what is all the need and the fuss about? Don't you have programs already? Aren't people with disabilities in education? Are there in the being attended to at the various health facilities? Are their needs being addressed in the other areas? What would you say to a question like that?
I would say on the surface, yes. But when you drill down, no, it isn't. When you have persons with disabilities that interface with our healthcare system and meet with blatant discrimination, persons not understanding. I was having a conversation recently with someone who they were told that they couldn't be blind because they were wearing a watch. I own several watches. I'm sure you do too. We have various different methods, so talking watches, braille watches, the new smart watches. But simply because this person was wearing a watch, the healthcare workers in the particular facility discounted that they needed assistance. When you have students who have educational needs and who have various disabilities, yes, we do have special needs units, and we do have dedicated private and public schools for persons with disabilities. But are their programs catering adequately? Are parents properly trained to cope with their children with disabilities? And that brings me to the next thing. Children with disabilities grow into young adults and then older adults with disabilities. Do we have programs in place to support their needs in the community when school is ended? Too often, as you know, Yudali, parents still see the educational environment for their children with disabilities as a daycare program, you know, somewhere to send the child so that they can go into work and do whatever needs they have. And I'm not saying that that's not important. It is. But it's also an opportunity for the children to gain skills. Are they being given enough skills? And in a lot of instances, no, they're not.
Well, when I listen to some of my colleagues in St. Lucia in particular, I mean, Jamaica and Trinidad are ahead when it comes to integration and the educational development of the students with disabilities. But only recently I was learning that in St. Lucia, there are itinerant teachers who work with the students with disabilities. And I'm thinking Barbados is a small country. We're in need, dire need, I would say, of providing strong support to our students with disabilities. What are some of the proposals that are within the manifesto to really provide or explore providing that level of support to help our students with disabilities, not only to excel, but to meet their own expectations?
You know, the thing is, what we wanted to do with the manifesto, we can't lay out everything in detail. We want people to interact with the document and say, okay, well, what more can we do? As you said, the itinerant teacher program, that is something that is prominent in some of the other countries. And it's something we'd like to see more of here. They have new peripatetic teachers. I think that's what they call them in our Ministry of Education. But in our educational system, it is not as widespread as it needs to be. More training for teachers with disabilities is essential. The Erdeston Teacher Training College is in its third year of offering a diploma in special education. Kudos to them on that. That's a fantastic move. But we need to have more teachers trained in the mainstream, not just to support the students in school. When I say in school, we have a lot of teachers in the program who work with their students when they come to them. But we also need students to be able to interact with teachers wherever they go. You're not going to find a child at X school with a disability today and not at Y school tomorrow. So you need teachers that can reach that student where they are at, especially at the primary school level, because that's the foundation of our educational system. So that is part of one of the things that we're trying to encourage through our manifesto.
From your perspective, how do you think the community of persons with disabilities are responding to their own needs and the needs of, I would say, their peers with disabilities?
That's a difficult one to answer. I think the level of awareness is getting better. But yesterday I was having a conversation, not about the manifesto, but in general, and one of the shortcomings is that persons with disabilities, we need to look inward a lot more to see why our issues aren't being dealt with. Sometimes we don't know, it's true, how to deal with our challenges, but a lot more needs to be done among ourselves to find out solutions, suggestions. You just said that, you know, in talking to your colleagues in other territories, you've learned more about their educational system. I don't think enough of that is done among our people. I think sometimes we sit and we look at the problem and say, we have a problem, but we don't actually start looking at the solutions. I always say to people, problems I have, solutions I need. So come to me and give me some solutions. You may not be able to talk it through from the beginning to the middle to the end, but at least start the process, start the thinking. And that is also how we promote nothing about us without us. If we become a part of the solution, if it grows from us, then it's going to be better suited to our needs. It makes no sense developing a concept and then the persons can't reach it. Some years ago, we wanted to develop a sports program for persons with disabilities. And it was a really good initiative. And the challenge came because transportation needs hadn't been worked in from the ground up, because transport, as you know, Udalee, is a big part of the problem for persons with disabilities. Now, if the discussion had been had with the disabled community beforehand, and if the disabled community had been able to articulate better what their areas of concern were, perhaps that program might not have failed because of it. Does that mean that the program won't get back on stream? No, it doesn't, because we know better now. So I think that we too, within the disabled community, need to take some more responsibility on ourselves. Leaders like yourself and myself, we have a really big role to play in that area. I was recently talking to a colleague from one of the other CARICOM member states, and they run programs for persons with disabilities, training them in their disability rights. Some years ago, we were putting on some television infomercials telling persons with disabilities to know your rights. We need to do more of that so that persons can understand the United Nations Convention on Rights of Persons with Disabilities, what the Sustainable Development Goals has to say about disability, what the Sendai Framework on climate change and all of those things. But more than that, just the basic things. Our country does have supports in place for persons with disabilities, but too often we don't know what they are. And we go too much by word of mouth. You know, somebody down the street tell us, you know, that so-and-so is the case. That's some place to start. But we need to do more investigation and ask questions, not just of our cousin or our friend that may know, but start discussing things with institutions. National insurance, for example. In our society, more disabilities, as you know, are developing through chronic illness and acquired disabilities than the congenital disabilities. Persons being born with disabilities, it's worldwide, it's on the decrease. Unfortunately, the other kinds are on the increase. And too often, when it comes time to claim national insurance, a lot of people don't know what their rights are where that is concerned. What are the different benefit types? Different organizations have started doing more to educate their people, and that's really good. But we need more of those kinds of programs, training people and understanding. Because when we understand what is there, then we can call for what we need to see change, because there is change needed.
Well, I certainly agree with you in terms of the need for more self-awareness. And I think, as you pointed out, persons with disabilities need to be a little more responsible as well and share within the community, within the organizations, by providing that level of feedback to the various organizations. It helps those organizations to better represent the issues affecting persons with disabilities. And I find that this is one area that is not done quite a lot in Barbados. In other countries, you would find that the disabled people are very vocal in sharing their views, either in the public fora, like the call-in programs, letters to the editor, and so on, as well as contacting disability organizations and saying, this has been my experience. Can you do something about it? You know, and I find that in Barbados, persons with disabilities shy away from being involved in organizations or even sharing their experiences, concerns, and solutions with the disability organizations.
Yes, we do. It's almost as if sometimes if we encounter an issue at X place and that one is resolved for us, that's where we leave it. We don't go the next step, because the truth is, the way I see things often is like this. I have a problem today and it's solved today. That doesn't mean that you may not go and encounter the same issue. I remember one time a person, I won't name the institution, a person interacted with one of the financial institutions in Barbados, and there was blatant discrimination. And the person emoted to me about how they felt about it and everything. And I got really upset, because this was one of the institutions that we dealt with before and talked to them about the challenges. And I said, you know what? I'm going to write to them again. And I did. Well, they got back to me very quickly and they asked, what is the issue? Now, the first problem with that is they were going to deal with the issue on a one-to-one basis. We need a policy across the board on that, but that's a whole other story. But when I went back to the individual and said, okay, give me more detail. What happened? When did it happen? Oh, no. I don't want the person to lose their job. Leave it there. Now, I agree. Nobody wants to be responsible for somebody else losing their job. It needn't go to the point where the person lost their job. The person needed retraining. The person needed sensitivity. But how can the institution deal with it if they don't know what you encountered?
Well, I think this is one of the fears that people do have, the repercussions that can result from raising a concern or raising a complaint. But as you pointed out, it is necessary for us to document some of these situations, experiences, so that corrections can be made, so that new policies can be constructed or old policy can be rewritten for the benefit of all, because we are customers, we are consumers, and therefore we also have rights as consumers. So what is the next step in relation to the manifesto? What do you want to see resulting from the production of this manifesto?
I want to see a deeper collaborative approach to persons with disabilities. And more importantly, it's not about what I want. It's about what we need in the community of persons with disabilities. We have a new government in place. We've concluded that process with the elections. We have a new cabinet set up. We have ministers being refocused, repurposed, redirected. We have different people in different positions. And so we need to re-engage and have those dialogues. And more importantly, not just have the dialogues, but have interventions, oversight, discussions. Too often we have a lot of talk, but not enough action. And that is across the board. That's not in one place and not in the other. Among the communities of persons with disabilities, sometimes we get together, we have lots of long, lengthy discussions on what is wrong. And that's where it stays. You're not pointing fingers at one person. Because remember, if you point a finger at somebody, there you often fingers pointing back at you. What it is we need to have out of this manifesto, we want to see more dialogue, more action, discussion, preparation, and programs springing out of it. Not even just out of it, but springing because of it. It may not have been an area we touched on, but it might be something that you say, you know what? I saw that, and this area wasn't talked about in the manifesto, but this is one that needs to be looked at as well. All of those are things that we need to examine and work with.
Let's say the top three priority for you. I know that all are priorities, but which three would you start with?
Healthcare, because of the current pandemic, healthcare has to be first. It's shown up a lot of deficiencies where persons with disabilities are concerned. So healthcare is number one, education is number two, and legislation is number three. That's how I see it.
What would you suggest to persons with disabilities and their families as it relates to the healthcare system?
Documentation. Document your experiences. Empower yourself with knowledge. Find out, you know, what should I be asking about? What should I be doing? I'll give you an example. I have a situation where someone needed a particular medical procedure done. When you're in pain, when you're distressed, you may not be able to comprehend there and then what's going on. But the person needed to sign off on whatever it was that needed to be done. And there was a level of reluctance to have their family member sit with them and go through the papers properly with them. These are things that need to be documented and discussed. We need to empower ourselves with knowledge. If we don't know, if we can't know, if we're not in a position to work with it, we need to be able to have persons available to us. The deaf and hearing impaired community, I haven't spoken about them specifically, but they have a really big problem interfacing with the healthcare system these days, because enough sign language is not spread across the board. So we need to see more in that area, but we also need to be able to facilitate their needs better. You know, mask wearing has impacted them tremendously because they can't see lips moving. So there are all kinds of different issues. So like I said, document what you're going through, empower yourself with knowledge, and make sure that you articulate it clearly to others, so that they can work with the system to help improve it.
And I think that is essential, because far too often we are not documenting our experiences, our situations, so that they can be reviewed to find solutions. And this is what we're really about this year in particular, really finding solutions, because at the end of the day, it's really about the further upliftment of our society. And as I often say, whatever benefits persons with disabilities, whatever solutions are found for persons with disabilities, extend beyond the disabled community. So
yes, they do.
Everybody in this society benefits one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. That is true. I have a colleague that works at UN, and whenever she does a presentation on disability, she uses a very evocative visual with a child. Now, it's not something that we interact with, but it's the concept, not the picture. A child is sitting at the bottom of some stairs, and the stairs are covered in snow. There's a group of children at the bottom. And there's a little boy sitting at the bottom of the ramp right next to it, sitting in his wheelchair. And the janitor, general worker, whoever the guy is that's shoveling off the snow says, hold on a sec, I'll do you after I've done this one. And the little kid says, but if you shovel the ramp first, all the children can go up, including me. And that is a very evocative picture in my mind. That ramp could benefit everybody if it's properly put in place. It does not prevent anybody from getting in, but the steps do. And translate that to all other aspects, not just the physical. If you have staff that is properly trained to accommodate, to include, to be sensitive to their clients, then everybody wins. If you have people that understand the importance of documenting things properly, of sharing knowledge with their clients, their patients, their whoever, everybody benefits, not just the person with the disability.
Well said, Kerry. So let's look at legislation. Speak to me about legislation, what currently exists, and what vision you have for this area.
Well, we have had the white paper on disabilities for a number of years. This year actually marks the 20th anniversary for the white paper on persons with disabilities being laid in Parliament. There have been several amendments to various pieces of legislation. We have the employment anti-discrimination, like I mentioned before, the parking spaces for persons with disabilities. There have been small amendments. There was language that was very, very offensive to persons with disabilities in some legislation. Those things, some of them have been amended and changed. So kudos to everybody for doing those things. But we need to go to the next step where we have specific anti-discrimination legislation speaking to and about persons with disabilities, not just anti-discrimination, but further outlining what our policies, what our rights are, what are going to be provided for us. In the government's manifesto, in the throne speech some years ago, was mention made of the Commission for Persons with Disabilities. Those various discussions need to be legislated so that these things can be brought into fruition. I believe some of our Caribbean territories, Cayman, Antigua, Guyana, Jamaica,
Bahamas,
yes, there are six of them. Haiti, yes, Haiti is number six. They all have legislation for persons with disabilities. And Barbados, we have various iterations of the draft legislation, and we need to bring that to fruition. It's been in draft since 2016. So it's something that we definitely need to speak to, and we'd love to see it come to the fore. Legislation does not automatically mean that changes will be there. People from the United States will tell you that the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed back in 1990. And there are still pockets of severe discrimination against persons with disabilities in the US. That's true. But what they do have is something to say, look, you cannot do this. You have a recourse. You have something with which to lay out. You are supposed to provide me with this. This is the service that your organization, this is what is supposed to be in place. We don't have that yet. And that's what we need to see in Barbados to start addressing things. Seatbelts, I use that often as my touchstone. Before the seatbelt legislation was passed, everybody knew, you know, we used to see that video with the crash dummies. You remember that one, Yudeli? That used to tell you to buckle up.
But people didn't
buckle up until they were forced to. Yeah, there's still some people that don't like to wear seatbelts. I know some people that say it ruins the layer of their suit when they drive the seatbelt over it. It crumples it. But guess what? If you pass 10 cars on the street, 8 out of 10, the driver and the passengers are buckled up. Why? Because they don't want to have to go to court and deal with something so simple. And that's what we need legislation to be able to do for us as persons with disability.
Well, as I said in the previous program, legislation helps significantly in facilitating persons with disabilities being able to truly exercise their rights as a citizen and also to live out their responsibilities as a citizen of the country as well. So like you, I believe that legislation is very supportive because it then puts the average citizen in a position to demonstrate more respect for persons with disabilities and the rights mm-hmm. that they have in facilitating their living comfortably within our society. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Kerri-Ann, as we generally discover when we're having these type of robust discussions, time slips by.
And yes, it does.
Today has been pretty good in allowing our listeners to get a greater insight into the Barbados Council for the Disabled's manifesto and share with us where persons can access the manifesto and provide you with some feedback.
Well, first and foremost, barbadosdisabled.org.bb, that's our website. Visit us there, look us up on the web. Just look for the Barbados Council for the Disabled. The manifesto is there. Our Facebook page, it's also available there in two different formats. We have a video where these words are on the screen. And then we also have the print edition, electronic edition, that's also available. And of course, if all else fails, give us a call, 629-0574, and we will email it to you. Drop us a line, bcd@caribsurf.com, and we can get that right out to you. It's a work in progress. We need to expand it and build it out, but it's a start in the right direction.
Well, I want to say a very hearty thank you, Kerri-Ann, for coming on the program yet again and sharing with us, keeping us up to date on the work of the Barbados Council for the Disabled. And as the year progresses, we will be inviting you and other representatives to come back and further update us on the progress being made.
It's always a pleasure to be with you.
So thank you very much and continue to keep the good work up at the Barbados Council for the Disabled.
Thank you, and we will.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and my special guest today, Kerri-Ann Eiffel from the Barbados Council for the Disabled. Remember, you can contact me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300, as well as by email, visionsbarbados@gmail.com. visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And you can check this and past episodes on the VOB929.com website. So until next week, have a wonderful week ahead. Take care.